it's my personality, but I like to start things. So this season of, like, the beginning season of the year, actually for me, it's really like energizing because it feels like it's something new and we get to start something fresh. And so I do hope that that's the case for our church this year. I've been thinking about sort of where God might lead us this year, and not only this year, but, you know, it's 2020, so this decade, kind of thinking about, okay, where God leading me and our family and our church this decade. And I was talking with my wife the other day, and we said in 10 years, like, there's a possibility that, like, we could be grandparents. And that shocked me. I mean, it's small, remote possibility, okay? Not really, but, I mean, and I was like, oh my goodness, like in 10 years, a lot of things could happen. But all that to say, I do think that God has a lot of things in store for us this year and this decade. And I am looking forward to journeying with you and serving you, serving with you and growing with you. For next few weeks, or next 2 months, we're going to talk about having like rhythms in our Christian life. And you kind of think about this, we see rhythms sort of everywhere, don't we? Like, we see rhythms in nature. We see the earth revolving around the sun, causing the rhythms of seasons. We see rhythms in music, you know, and without rhythms in music, we kind of know that something is off. But when rhythm's there, like, it just feels right and pleasant. Even though, like, we might not know too much about music, it just feels more pleasant or right. We see rhythms in our own physical body, the beating of our hearts, the breathing of our lungs. I mean, these are rhythms, and I think they're there because that's how God designed the universe and how God designed our bodies and how we need to function. And so in order for us to really walk with God and know God well, I think we need to get into some sort of spiritual rhythm as well. We kind of know that from the Old Testament, when God created his people, one of the Ten Commandments that he gave was to his people was to keep the Sabbath. Right? Work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. Why? Because it was a rhythm for God's people to, like, not only work, but also to worship and know who God is. And the passage that was read for us earlier just today, at the beginning of the service, in Matthew 11:29, in the Message translation, Jesus says this, "Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Now, how do we walk with God? Now, how do we work with God? How do we serve God? How do we grow? We need to get into a certain rhythm of, I'm going to say, rhythms of grace. God is inviting us to be with him. Like, we want to engage with him, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about rhythms of grace. So for next about 8 weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like. It's going to be really practical, and I think it will be helpful in our Christian journey. All right, so if you have your Bibles with you or your devices, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 25 to verse 30. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. I'm going to read from the ESV translation. It says, "At that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except for the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" This is God's word. And here's my main point for us today as we start this year off. There's this gracious invitation from God, and he says, "Come to me." Jesus says, "Come to me." Simple, pretty simple, right? But when you look at this passage and the context is, Jesus says, unless you come to me like little children, you're not going to come to me at all. Unless you approach me like little children, you're not going to hear my voice. And so what we want to do today is we want to make sure that we have the posture of a little child. Most of you would know this, but the posture of a little child is this. Mommy, daddy, that's the posture. Help me. Parents here with little kids, you know this, right? I mean, every other minute, your child is approaching you saying, Mommy, Daddy. And what are they saying? They're saying, help me. I want you. I need you. Pick me up. Help me. What we know of little children is they know they are helpless. Like, they know who they are, and they know that they desperately need their mommy and daddy to help them. And so when Jesus here says, you need to come to me like a little child, I mean, he's asking us to recognize who we are, like how helpless we are without him, and trust that when we do reach out, that our Heavenly Father will hear us because he loves us. So we're going to approach the scripture, approach God today like a little child. And so here are my 3 points, and they'll go really quickly. Who needs to come to him? Why come to him? And then how do we come to him? Right? Who, why, and how? Okay, who needs to come to him? Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. This past week, my father asked me to bring a couch from my uncle's house to his place. Well, he lives with me, but he says, bring this couch for me. Can you do that? And I said, no problem. And he also wanted to rearrange some furniture in his place. And so I had my two sons kind of stay behind and kind of rearrange the furniture, lift things up and rearrange things. And so I took Phil Lowe. There he is. Phil Lowe. And I said, Phil, I need your van. So let's go get this couch. And Phil is so confident. Oh, no problem. Two of us could do this. Oh, yeah. I was like, all right. And so we get there. And the couch is like, it's one of those reclining couches. It's like heavy. I mean, it's heavier. And so you get there, and I'm like, all right, I can do this. And I know that I need to use my legs and not my back. So I get down, and I grab hold of one end, and I go. And I, for the first time in my life, I mean, seriously, first time in my life, I thought my knees were going to give away. I mean, I was so heavy. It was something like we, like, maybe went 5 feet, and I was like, all right, let's take a break. 5 feet, took a break, and that's how it happened, and we almost didn't make it. I mean, we barely brought the couch home. I say that because oftentimes that's how we feel about life. Like, we're barely making it by. Like, we rarely feel strong, up to the task. We often feel like we're barely hanging on or barely making it. And Jesus here says, like, if you want rest, if you want something to happen in your soul, he says, come to me. And it's not that we need physical rest, but he's talking about if you sense this heaviness, weariness of your, inner heaviness of your soul, he says, to come to him. In Jesus' days, and some of you know, the Jews had to prove that they were good enough Jews by keeping 613 rules. They were placed upon them by the religious leaders, but the thing was, even the religious leaders could not keep or did not keep these rules, and yet they had placed these rules on the people. And so here they were daily struggling to keep these rules, and when they would fail, I mean, there would be a sense of guilt and shame. But this burden that they carried, like, daily. And so Jesus comes to them and he says, if you are heavy laden, if you're laboring, come to me. And we're not the first century Jews, but my guess is most of us are feeling some sort of burden in our hearts. There's this heaviness. I know some of us have family members who are sick, and that's heavy. All those of us are in time of transition. You are looking for a new job, and I mean, that could be heavy. Some of us are just physically not doing well, and that's heavy. Some of us might be worried about your kids. I mean, that's heavy. There's relational brokenness. That's heavy. I mean, life is full of burdens that can cause heaviness in our souls. So here Jesus today says, as you start this new year, come to me. Who needs to come to him? Those who are heavy laden. Why come to him? Well, Jesus promises here, and this is where we need to approach Jesus like a child. Jesus says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's common knowledge now that we live in an anxious-filled society. Anxiety is the major psychological issue in the 21st century. And according to National Institute of Mental Health, one out of every five adults struggle with some kind of anxiety or some kind of disorder yearly. And how people usually try to deal with anxiety, whether it's big anxiety or small anxiety, is it's through distractions. Because we worry constantly. A lot of us have a hard time even sleeping or just relaxing, resting. Some of us don't know how to like rest or relax. It's hard because your inner heart is constantly spinning. Your inner heart is constantly anxious, so it's often hard to just rest. Some of us feel even physically like you're tense. Your neck, you know, your shoulders are tense. Your body aches. How do you get rest for your souls? How do you actually make yourself stop worrying? Like stop being anxious. How do you actually learn to relax and sleep? There was an article in Washington Post this past year by a lady named Jelena Kamanovic, I think. She's a clinical psychologist, founder of DC Behavior Therapy Institute. And she wrote an article and she said, the way people deal with anxiety, whether it's small or big, is through distractions. And this is what she says. She says, it's by watching a movie or TV shows, eating, drinking, internet browsing, video game playing, dating app swiping, and overworking. Smartphones provide a distraction any time of the day or night. Psychological research has shown that distractions serve as a common anxiety avoidance strategy. Paradoxically, however, these avoidance strategies make anxiety worse in the long run. Being anxious is like getting into a quicksand. The more you fight it, deeper you sink. I mean, think about this. Isn't it true? How many of us felt refreshed after hours of watching and binging on Netflix? Or how many of us felt refreshed after being on the internet for hours? I mean, we want to rest, but our default mode is we want to be distracted by all the things that are happening around us. I mean, you know, this is not even a Christian psychologist. I mean, she says, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So here's the question, right? Like, I'm here. Like, our society, we need to learn how to have deep rest. Well, how do we do that? Again, Jesus says, he promises us, if you come to me, I will give you. So here's my third point. How do you come to Jesus to get this rest? How does it look like? How do we do it? If you have your devices, look with me once again at verse 28. And I thought about this weekend. It really helped me. Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 28 and verse 29 are saying the same thing. Like Jesus is basically unpacking what it looks like for someone to come to him. And how does that look like? Jesus says, you need to take my yoke upon you. What does it mean for us to come to Jesus? Jesus here says, you need to take my yoke upon you. What's a yoke? Well, yoke, most of you know, yoke was a wooden plank that connected two animals, that they would walk together to plow the land more effectively. All right, so for those of you who learn better visually, we have a picture. There it is. It's a wooden beam that connected to animals so that they don't like go their separate ways. They are always connected. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the way that you come to me is for you to be yoked to me, meaning you need to follow me. You need to trust me. I need to be the center of your life. You need to take my lead. You need to be with me. You need to be connected to me. In other words, Jesus is talking about discipleship. The way that we come to him, what it looks like practically is for us to be his disciple, that we are connected to Christ. Now, that's kind of strange because Jesus is promising rest. And yet he says, if you want this rest of your soul, you need to take my yoke upon you. It sounds like Jesus is something. It's saying something that doesn't fit together. I mean, if you want to rest, how does that happen? Well, Jesus goes on to say this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. How is it that when we follow Jesus, and we are connected to Jesus, that we experience rest is because when we are connected to him, when we follow him as our Lord and Savior, we get to experience Jesus who is gentle and lowly in heart. When Jesus came, he didn't come to conquer people. He came to serve, not to be served, and ultimately to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to save sinners. How did he do that? Ultimately, he went to the cross. He died for us in our place. What does that mean? That means when we come to him, we don't have to prove our worth. We don't have to find, we don't have to prove or earn God's love. Like, God loves us because of him. Like, when we come to him, we can experience the love of God because of who Jesus is. When we walk with Jesus, when we come to him, there is forgiveness again and again and again. When we come to him, we recognize that he is faithful and that we really can trust his promises. When we come to him, even when things are hard, we sense his presence. When we fail, when we feel weak, he will pick us up and strengthen us. I mean, that's what Jesus here is talking about. Come to me, take my yoke upon you. And I think the emphasis is, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. We get to experience God's kindness and graciousness, forgiveness, faithfulness in our life if we are connected to Jesus. That's what it means to come to him. So as you start this new year, here is the most important thing that we, all of us, including myself, that we need to do. We need to come to him. We need to latch onto Christ. We need to be connected to him. Then, and only then, in the midst of all that's happening in your life, that we will find rest for our souls. Let's end our time by asking this question. And actually, the rest of, 7-8 weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like practically. What that looks like being attached to Christ, being connected to Christ, what that looks like. But for today, let's end our time by asking ourselves this question. What are you yoked to as you enter this new year? See, in order for us to be yoked to Jesus, we need to be unyoked from something else. We can't be yoked to two things. We can't have two centers. We can't have two leaders leading us. And we can't have two captains. Like it's Jesus. We're either yoked to Jesus or yoked to something else. And for most of us, including myself, we need to unyoke ourselves from something else. Something else that's draining us. Something else that might seem like it would give us rest, and yet it fails. Maybe some of us are yoked to technology. And all that it promises us, entertainment, quick distraction, and it not that it's all bad, of course, but oftentimes we, again, seek certain rest from these things, and yet it leaves us perhaps even more tired. Others of us might be yoked to our work. We work hard so that we can maybe make more money or feel more accomplished. Some of us might be yoked to people. They're not bad people, and yet we've yoked ourselves to a person. No matter how great this person is, he or she can't be the center of your life. Most of us, all of us, including myself, as we start this new year, think about what you need to unyoke your life from so that you can yoke yourself to Christ. And if we could do that, we will begin to find deep rest for our souls. Why don't we do that? Before I bring us to take communion, I'm going to ask us to bow our heads just for a minute, and let's just, again, as I said earlier, I really like this season, the beginning of sort of new year, because it naturally forces me to reflect and assess my walk with God. And I know that I need to unyoke my heart from other things and really attach my heart, my soul to Christ. So I'm going to give us just a minute to pray, and you know, as we reflect and pray, yeah, ask yourself this question. Like, what are you yoked to, honestly?